that story that they just sung about, we're going to read about here in just a moment in John 13. But before I begin reading, I wonder how many of you would be honest, how many of you have ever known somebody that you would describe as being too big for their britches? Raise your hand if you've ever known someone like that. Too big for their britches, right? You look up synonyms. I looked it up in the dictionary. And you could find everything online, right? Synonyms for too big for your britches. And it had cocky, pompous, conceited, snooty, swollen-headed. I love this one. One of the synonyms was windbag. Windbag. I thought that was pretty good. Windbag. And talking about a windbag, remind me of a Texas farmer. And he was touring England. And this Texas farmer, he thought he was something. He met this English farmer. He said, "What size farm you got here?" And the Englishman proudly said, "Oh, I've got 35 acres. And the Texas guy was like, "35 acres?" He said, I want you to know I can get in my truck and I can leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. I could drive till noon and still be on my farm. He said, I can eat lunch, get back in my truck, drive my truck, he said, until 5 o'clock in the afternoon and still be on my farm. The Englishman said, "Oh, yes, I had a truck like that once too." Thought he had an old truck, you know. Oh, mercy. He wasn't impressed, was he? But some people get too big for their britches. And you know, the disciples, the 12 disciples that were with Jesus, and when this story happens, they were getting a little too big for their britches. And this particular event that happens had to be like a punch in the gut to them, really, because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the King of Kings. I mean, he truly was as big as you can get. And I want you to look at verse 1. It says, John 13, 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Did you catch that? What a verse 3 was. I don't know if you caught the impact of that, but look at verse 3. Look at what it says about Jesus. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." He's got all things. He holds everything in his hands, but yet look what he does. Look at verse number 4. It says, "He riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He willingly chooses here to take the form of a servant." And I want to remind you of what's happening here in this story. Jesus and his 12 disciples are about to partake in what's called the Last Supper. And it really was, because that night Jesus is going to be arrested. And it's going to be mob scene then. And then he's going to be crucified. And so this is the Last Supper. This is their last chance to all be together before the cross. And so they're in this upper room, and it's right before the Passover, which was the major event of the year for a Jew. And of course, Jesus is the Passover lamb that is about to go to the cross. And just like they sung about there in that song that we just heard, the 12 were kind of bickering. They had been kind of bickering and arguing over who was going to be the greatest in Christ's kingdom. They were arguing over who was going to have what position and who would have the best position and who was going to be on his right hand in the kingdom and who was going to be on his left hand. And so they're lobbying for themselves and they're jockeying for position. I guess the best illustration I could give you that would relate to a lot of you is, you know, if you got you some reality show where you've got a bunch of people and they're all vying for a certain position or a prize and they're all trying to be the one to outdo everybody else and to get the prize, that's what you got going on. You got 12 guys that are there and they're preparing for this kingdom that Jesus is going to bring, and they're all lobbying for themselves. So they scurry into this upper room that they've rented, and they've got this room, this table, they're going to have supper. And so they come in, and it's probably kind of heated, they're kind of angry, full of resentment, and they hustle into the upper room, and they all sit down around the table, and they're bristling as they take their places, and then everything kind of comes to a pause. And like I told you, back then, the way they would sit at a table is it would be very low to the ground. They wouldn't put their feet under the table. They'd kind of recline like this. And they kind of have their feet up. And of course, as they got their feet up, you can see that everybody's feet is nasty and dirty. But for any of them to wash the feet of the rest of them was to declare themselves to be the servant of all. And that was precisely what each man was resolved not to do. I mean, they're thinking it wouldn't be appropriate for someone who's going to be on a throne in the kingdom with Jesus Christ to wash feet. I mean, that wouldn't be appropriate, right? And so they're kind of sitting there, looking at the table, maybe kind of eating their food a little bit, looking at the ceiling. And they're resolved, they are all resolved that they would not be the man to own himself to be the servant of all. And as they're eating and they're finishing up supper, Jesus Christ gets up and he begins to head away from the table. And they're thinking, what's he doing? What's Jesus doing? And so Jesus comes over here and the Bible says that he took his garment off and he lays it aside. And the Bible says he picked up a towel. And the Bible says he girded himself like this. And they're thinking, what is he doing? And then he gets a basin, he gets the water, and he pours water into the basin. And he's got 12 sets of eyes looking at him. And he takes the basin and he comes over here. He puts the basin down. And he takes the first one's feet and he starts washing them. And then he takes the towel and the Bible says that he dried their feet. And then he took the basin and he came over here to the next guy. He stoops down to take the nasty feet of the next one and he washes them. And then he takes the towel and he dries their feet. He gets to Peter, and Peter's like, you're not going to wash my feet. He just knew. This isn't appropriate. Man, you are the king. You are the top man here. And Jesus is like, feet need to be cleaned. I'll do it. And you know, nothing is more amazing, church, than the fact of God taking on humanity in order to serve man and redeem man. Nothing's more amazing than that. That's Christianity. Most other religions, you got people that are trying to appease an angry God. In Christianity, God comes to earth, picks up the towel to serve and redeem mankind. Aren't you glad for that? And I mean, you look at all he's got. I mean, that's what makes it really amazing. Look at verse 3. Look at that again. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given. Let me stop right there. Jesus had power. Notice that the Father had given. Now, Jesus had power that came directly from God Almighty. The power he had did not come from the Roman king, the Roman emperor. It didn't come from a Roman governor. He had power that came directly from God Almighty. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, knowing that the Father had given how many things? All things where? Into his hands. Say that with me. Into his hands. How many of you guys have ever heard that old song? He's got the whole world in his hands. Got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. I just figure, why should I look stupid? I'll let you guys sing with me because you guys are looking at me like you're weird, you know. You guys know that song, right? Got the little bitty baby. I'm not going to keep going, but anyway, we'll stop there. It's true. That song is true. It was probably, I'm guessing they probably based it out of that verse. The Bible says the Father had given all things into his hands. He had power. He had possessions. Everything was at his fingertips. He was in control. And then look at the rest of the verse. It says, and that he was come from God and went to God. He not only had power and possessions, he had position. He had a position at the right hand of the Father. He is soon to be exalted above every single name. His name will be exalted above all. He had it all. He had it all. But yet he picked up the towel and he served. So what does that teach us? We've been looking at some lessons from this, right? How can we be this way? How can we learn from this? And here's what we learn. And I want you to write this in your handout. It's the third thing that we're going to look at. We looked at the first two last week. But the third thing is this. Christ was not too big to serve. I look at verse 3 and I look at all that he had. The Father had given all things into his hands. And he came from God and he went to God. He had power, he had position, he had possessions, but yet he wasn't too big to pick up the towel and to serve. And you know, I just want to remind you today, there are no big shots in Christ Church. There's no big shots in Christ Church. We are all members one of another. Amen? Look at the verse up on the screen, Galatians 3:28. It says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all what? One in Christ Jesus. There's no big shots. Now, I know there's leadership gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. We all have different gifts, and I get that. Some have teaching gifts. Some have leadership gifts, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives men gifts to pastor and shepherd the flock, and I understand all that. Those are gifts from the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to our standing before God Almighty, listen, I want you to know we are all equally complete in Christ. I have no advantages above you before God. Listen, there are no big shots, including me or any other pastor in this church. We are all equal. We are all one. We are all equally complete in Jesus Christ. There's no big shots. There's no pecking order. He says there's no rich or poor. There's no slave or free. It doesn't matter if you're a slave. Doesn't matter if you're free. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, foot washing was a very common courtesy in those days when somebody came to your home. And I think we can get why, right? You didn't have like streets like we do today. And they wore open-toed sandals. And so their feet would get nasty because the streets were dirty. The streets were dusty and filthy. And so feet were very visible in those days. Like I told you, the way they would fellowship, they would recline back. At the table, they would recline where your feet would be very, very much showing all the time. And of course, probably infections and things. They had to make sure that they kept their feet very clean. And, you know, if you came to my home today, our culture is such that I would probably take your jacket, I'd offer you a drink. Why? Because that's a common courtesy. If you came to a home in the first century when this was written, it was a little different. They would greet you with a kiss. They would ask you, would you like your feet washed? Our culture is a little different. Amen. If you came to my house, you're probably not going to get kissed. And I can almost tell you for sure you're not going to get your feet washed. You know, if you want to wash your feet, it's like there's a hose on the side of the house. Amen. Go help yourself. But it's important to understand that even in that culture, in that time period, the host would never wash the feet of the guests. That would have been too humiliating. There'd always be a servant or someone who could come wash the feet, but the host would not do it because, I mean, let's be honest, feet are kind of disgusting. I mean, imagine if I came to your house and you're like, hey, Pastor Dan, hey, man, come on in. Hey, we're glad you're here. Could I get you a drink? Take your shoes off. Want to get a foot massage? I might take you up on that. But, of course, you wouldn't do that. You're not going to touch my feet. Yeah. In that culture, this was a job reserved for a servant or a slave. But they're basically up here in this rented room. And so Christ washed the feet of sinful men. He's like, I'll do it. What's the point? The point is this, church. And it's in your handout, by the way. This statement's in your handout. When we feel that we're too big, too important, too busy to serve, we are placing ourselves above Jesus Christ. We're saying that we're bigger and that we're more important than Jesus Christ. He picked up the towel. He served. And we're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Lamb of God, the light of the world. We're talking about the living water, the bread of life, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he picks up the towel and the King of Kings stoops down and he does something that is reserved for the lowest of the low in that culture. And yes, he washed the feet of not only the 12 disciples, but that included Judas Iscariot. We talked about that extensively last week. And I would encourage you to listen to that online if you missed that message, because he stoops down and he washes the feet of someone that we would think was unworthy. He washes the feet of Judas Iscariot and all the rest of these guys who are going to forsake him. Judas Iscariot, who's going to stab him in the back. And Jesus knew exactly what that man was going to do to him. And Jesus said, I'll serve. I'll do it. Can you imagine if you had a church full of people with that Christ-like attitude? Can you imagine for a moment if every member of the church had that same Christ-like spirit? Can you imagine what a church could accomplish for Jesus Christ? If everybody just had the attitude, I will. I'll do it. Can you imagine, I want you to use your imagination, parents, but imagine if everybody in your house had that same spirit. Imagine your kids fighting over who gets to take the garbage out. Imagine your kids squabbling over who gets to help with the dishes. Please let me do it. I want to help. Imagine everyone in your house having that kind of a spirit. Honey, I got it. Honey, I'll do that. No, honey, I'll do that. No, honey, I'll do that. No, honey, I'll, no, hopefully you don't fight over it, but imagine if everyone at work, where you work, had that attitude of Christ. You mean there's a menial, nasty job, and it's nobody's in job? It's not in anybody's job description? Please let me do it. Imagine that. You mean there's a nasty job, and it's not in anyone's job description? What? Can I do it? Let me do it. There's some verses to ponder. It's in your handout. Look at Philippians 2:3. It's on the back side of your handout. It says, let nothing be done through what, church? Strife. Strife. Let nothing be done through strife. This applies to your home, your marriage, the church. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, and what's the next word? Other. Other better than themselves. Do you know what that means? That means there's no job that I would look at and say, ooh, that's kind of nasty. Yeah, that's you. That's not me. No, that's you. There's no job I would look at that way. Why? Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's what Jesus did. He made himself of no reputation. And he picked up the towel. Romans 12:3 is on the screen. You might want to jot this down in your handout. But Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to who? Does that include us? Yes. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There's a very powerful passage in your handout. I want you to look at it. It's extremely powerful. It's Romans 15:1-3. And it says, "We then that are," and I want you to underline that, "we then that are" what? "Strong. We ought to bear the infirmities." Bear. That's another word for serve, right? "We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak," and underline this, "not to please ourselves." Can you say that with me? "Not to please ourselves. Let every one of us," underline this, what's the next three words? "Please his neighbor for," underline this, "his good, to edification." And then say the next phrase with me, "for even Christ pleased not himself." And you know, I read that and I thought, why is the "even" there? Why did it not just say, "for Christ pleased not himself"? Why did it say, "for even Christ"? I think what he's trying to get across is that if anybody had a right to please himself, it was Jesus. He was sinless. He was holy. He was sent from God. He had all possessions. All things were in his hand. He had all power from the Father. If anybody had a right to just kind of make it about himself, it was Jesus Christ. So he says, listen, you know, you that are strong, you need to use that strength as a platform to help people. If you've got health, you use it to help people who are unhealthy. If you've got that ability, then you use it to help someone else. And then he says, "for even Christ pleased not himself." The one who could have the most didn't. Power, you know what that tells me right there? Power and strength. And the world's all about that, right? The world's all about power and strength. Who's the strongest? Who's got the most power? The world's all about power and strength. But do you know what that verse just said? It said that power and strength are not to be used for self-promotion, but for service. Wow, what a thought, what a revolutionary thought, is that power and strength are to be used for service, not self-promotion. It's like a husband says, "I'm the head of my house." Really? You know what that means? That means that you get to use your position to serve more than anybody else. Jesus specialized in menial tasks that everybody else tried to avoid. Didn't he? I mean, you just think about it. I mean, you got this story. Jesus washes feet. He helps little children. We see him fixing breakfast. We see him serving lepers. Nothing was beneath him because he came to serve. Jesus did not do these things in spite of his greatness. No, he did them because of his greatness. And he expects us to follow his example, church. If you look at verse 14 and 15, he makes that really clear. Look in your Bible at verses 14 and 15. After he does this, he says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet," he says, "ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an," what? "Example, that you should do as I have done to you." Did you know great opportunities often disguise themselves in small tasks? And before attempting to do the extraordinary, just try serving in ordinary. Just try serving in ordinary ways. There will always be more people willing to do great things for God than are willing to do the little things. The race to be a leader is crowded, but the field is wide open for those willing to be servants. And there's one more thought I want to give you, and I'm done. Look at verse 1. This is amazing to me. Verse 1. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that," what? "That his hour was come." And I want to stop there and just say this. This was his hour. This was finally the moment that in time and in history that would be the most important of all time. Jesus Christ's hour had come when he would die for our sins, when he would rise from the dead and conquer death and hell, where he would be ascended to the right hand of the Father, far above all things. The hour had come. This was his hour. And what's amazing to me is that when it became the most about him, Jesus turns it around and made it about others. His hour had come. This was his hour. And when it was the most about him, he turns it around and he makes it about others. And I want you to think about this before you pack up here and start putting your hand out up. I want you to think about something with me for a minute. I want you to think about this. Would you this week pray and look for some ways that you can pick up the towel? I mean, out of the ordinary. Out of the ordinary. I mean, things at work, maybe things at home, maybe things at school, maybe there's some things in your community, maybe your next door neighbor. But are there some ways that you could pick up the towel and serve? Pray about that. Think about that. Look for opportunities. Like I said, the field's wide open for servants. Look for opportunities to show forth Christ, to pick up that towel and to serve.